Okay, you're starting Perek, Hilchos Bracha, Perek Shmini, the eighth chapter. Where do we, what, how long did we get up to? Mendel, where are we at? Pick up the Halacha Gimel.
Hello?
Yeah.
What's that?
Where are we up to Halacha Gimel?
Yeah, it should be Perek Ches Halacha Gimel, I believe.
Okay, good. I'm sorry. Peros or Yeraka Shadakar Leachel Chai in Bishlan or Shalakan Mavorcha Lehem Vitzila Shahakol. Fruit or vegetables, do you normally eat raw? If you cook them or you stew them, Mavorcha Lehem Vitzila Shahakol, make a shakol. Well, so, Borei Priha, Borei Nefashot Vavos. Right. You make a Borei Nefashos. So this is like, now, the question is, let's take apples for a moment, okay? You mostly eat apples raw, but you do eat apples. Does the Rambam mean exclusively the eating practice is eaten essentially raw, and then it's a outlier case that you're cooking it? Or you have a situation where, you have like apples, you eat it. Now, can anybody think of a fruit or vegetable that you generally never cook? What would be an example of that?
But you generally never cook?
I mean,
apples, you only exclusively eat it raw?
Yeah, I can't think of a case.
Grapes?
Grapes is a good one. I mean,
occasionally
made into jelly. And they cook it
right, out. They're made into jelly. Yeah, they're made into jelly. But that's, I mean, I guess it would still be a shahakol, but.
So he says that's going to be a shahakol.
He's saying that are usually eaten raw or cooked. That are usually eaten raw are cooked or stewed. I mean, that's pretty much everything. You can pretty much do that to everything. For better or for worse.
Right. So, no,
but, melon. I guess melon. Right. Melon is a good one. What are you going to cook with melon?
Not very, very super infrequently. Sure, there's a recipe for anything, but that would be a good example. Or grapes, good example. You don't cook grapes. You basically eat them raw.
Right. But I think it was a good point when you said grapes are made into jelly. But you could definitely have grape jelly. You're never going to find watermelon. I guess you could. I don't know that you would find watermelon jelly.
Whatever, but you're popping those babies into boiling water. Very rare. Anyways, now the question, of course, is why? Does that mean it's an artist? If I cook a grape, does it make it out of grape? So the question, in other words, like, why should I get it devalued? In other words, it's still a grape. It's a boring pre-hate. It's still a true statement. So why is it now shackle? So let's put that on the table. Keep on going. Let's get the whole.
So one second. When you eat a cantaloupe. Well, I guess that's the point. You're not gonna ever cook a cantaloupe.
Not that I can. I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Let's go, Viter. Let's go on. Yerako should darken the asol shalukin and vegetables, which you normally eat stewed, could go on karuv or lefet, which I think is karuv is cabbage and lefet is. So lefis he's translating as turnips. Right, so that turnips.
Yeah, that's how the Chabad gets it.
Yeah, imachlan chayim, if you eat the bram, vorkalam shekel, bralim tila shakol. So you have the reverse case. Yeah, so cabbage. Now, cabbage nowadays, interesting enough, this will be, for example, we have cabbage salad. We call it, Now, it's interesting, cabbage salad typically. No, coleslaw.
Right. Yeah, coleslaw is a good example of that. It's not cooked. It's still raw. It's not cooked.
It is marinated in citric acid, sour salt. Because the cabbage is very stiff. But the appropriate bracha for darka leachel, the manner of eating, is definitely going to be subject to time and location. Or these things change. You know what I'm saying? These things change.
Which things change?
In other words, because the principle is fruit, vegetables that you normally eat cooked, like cabbage. Well, now, cabbage, through a pickling process, we will eat cabbage. We'll eat cabbage raw. I mean, pickled, really. But the question is, I was always thinking you make a board for your demand that.
Well, how come that's not part of the dera? If they're eating, I mean, coleslaw, why wouldn't that be in the category of dera?
Right. So you'll say that just changed. Now it's no longer, now it's something that's eaten both cooked and raw.
What you're saying might be true of cucumber salad, where the dressing is literally mostly vinegar with a little bit of sugar and some water in it. That's a quick pickling on the cucumber salad. But if you're gonna tell me that if I make a coleslaw with a mayonnaise dressing and like a teaspoon of vinegar, then it's all of a sudden pickling the coleslaw? Well, that's still all raw.
In order to make effective coleslaw, you need to have the sour salt, which is citric acid. That makes it limp. Yeah, it is a marination process. Whatever. But the point is, but then the bottom line is, cabbage is how there's cabbage soup, and there's stuffed cabbage, which is how it's eaten cooked, but it's also eaten as part of a coleslaw salad. So it's not no longer in the category.
Okay. Of raw food. Okay.
I guess the question is, what does derech mean? You know, does derech mean generally how it's eaten, or does it? Is it generally how it's eaten?
Yes.
So then apple, anything other than its pure form would be shehakel.
Well, I don't know.
The derech, even though you can make apples into a million different things, the general derech is to just take an apple and bite it.
Maybe. That's certainly true nowadays.
Okay, so let's put another question. So our question number one is, why am I changing the bracha if I'm consuming it and it's not in normal prepared form? Either it's normally raw and you cook it, or it's normally cooked and you eat it raw. Why is it getting a shackle? It's still a bar priya, it's a bar priya dama. Why should that change? So that's question number one. Next question we have to find is, what is the definition of darken le'afel? Can we give a definition? I mean, robe, is it like 51% of the time? Or does it mean that it's only rarely, it's majority done, it's, you know, it's only a rare outlier case that the thing is produced in that way. All right, so we have to try to look into that. Third case, d'varim sh'darken le'afel chayim uvot mivushlam. All right, so things that are eaten both raw and cooked, oklam ben chayim ben mivushlam b'varach lehem b'tchila. Bracha roilem, as we expected. You eat the bracha that's normal. So let's just say for a moment that apples are normally eaten both raw and cooked. So you're always going to make a break for your eggs.
That seems to be what... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, let me just in my parasite eggs. If it's fruit of the tree, bracha on break for your eggs. In parasite, mavi rakos, fruit of the ground or vegetables, you make a break for your eggs. Okay.
That seems to be getting at what Dan was saying earlier. Like when foods are commonly eaten both raw and cooked, that seems to be like what the robe does.
Right. Yeah, but what if it's? But if it, let's say it's a substantial minority. As Dan said, the majority of consuming of apples is eating them is table apples, you know, hand fruit, as they say. But they're made into apple pies, they're made into applesauce, they're made into baked apples. You know, there's all kinds of the whole world. Right. There's a whole world of apples.
Yeah. And when you put that together, maybe that more people eat apples as cooked food as opposed to raw.
Huh. All right, so
okay.
Let's spend a little moment or two. Why, if you change the normal like the turnip case, turnip basically is like unoutable. It's so hard. It's such a dense, fibrous vegetable. You have turnip.
You're never going to eat that raw.
You can't eat it raw. Very difficult to do it even physically. And it's prepared either by they'll pickle it. They'll like let it sit in our brine. We can get to that issue in our is what they call kavush. A pickling is that equal to cooking? Now, rabbinically, insofar as kashrus is concerned, it is. We didn't get to that yet.
Okay.
So he's just giving but real cooking with flame and a liquid medium.
Right. Pickling is a cooking, as in pickles.
It's rabbinic cooking.
Right.
In other words, if I have meat, okay. if I take meat and cheese, and I put them in a brine, okay. So after 18 minutes, halakhically they're considered rabbinically cooked. And even if I scrape off any discernible piece of dairy off the meat, it'll be an isser derabbanan to eat that. That'll be a rabbinic violation of eating milk and meat.
Okay.
I picked everything off. Because we assume what's your question, Michael?
What sort of brine is ever applied to cheese anyway?
I'm just saying.
You're just making the point. Okay.
Example of if you had some sort of a pickling, salty, vinegary solution that you put your food, you put the thing in, so that would be that would be a merging of flavors.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you have
to.
You have to say that the bracha does not go by the ingredients, because if you say that, then there's no. It doesn't matter. The form wouldn't matter. It doesn't matter that the thing is totally applesauce is made completely out of apples.
Right.
So this halacha's teaching that the bracha does not go by the ingredients.
Well, it's got to be connected somehow because it's connected to the food, right? I mean,
he's saying you make a shahakol, which is like a catch-all. It's not.
It's a generic food.
So something about the status of the food changed, but it's still essentially about the food to some degree.
All right. So let's take the apple. Let's say the way of eating apples is raw. So I take a baked apple. In fact, so I'll make it once a Rambam or one reading of the Rambam. I'll make a shakal on that because the pre of the eighth is not, this goes back to the same crazy guys did by the fruit juices. In other words, the fruit means the final product. You know what I'm saying? The intended final product. The intended final product goes by the majority use. So the majority use of apples, fruit of the tree, is when it's in even the raw state. Rather than I, as an outlier, take it and make it into, he doesn't talk about chopping it down here. We're not going to get into that yet either. He's going to get into that, but it's not now. Then if I cook it, that's not the normal derech achila, then I will make a shakal because it's not the fruit. That's not the desired. You make the bracha in its general state of consumption. That's the fruit. That's the product. I can make Borei Pri Eitz because, in a certain sense, I'm saying something which is not true. This is not the fruit or the product of the tree. This approach tree was went through a different process. Something else. Nothing is not an apple. It's not the normal, the derech achila, you make the bracha on the fruit in its normal, idealized eating state. And you make the bracha of that specific shavach of borei priya eif only on that. If I do a sort of a outlier case, the fact that I subjectively want to do that to this thing, it's no longer the priya eif. Priya eif is conventionally defined as by what state people consume it in. That's what seems Ram to talk about.
It's interesting. It seems like the bracha has an added dimension of what seemed to be, I guess Dan was trying to say earlier, maybe not. I don't mean to be putting words in your mouth, but there's an idea of the rove here, like the general method of consumption of the fruit and vegetable somehow has an effect on the bracha. Like, what is that?
Right. So so you have the different possibilities of what the priya eight would be defined. You say the priya eight could be defined biologically, botanically. Oh, this is the edible fruit of the tree, regardless of how I consume it. Or you can define it conventionally within the derech b'nei Adam. Well, this is how I consume it. Oh, so if I'm going to do it in a weird way, that's no longer really the priya eight or the priya adamah. Right.
But I mean, I guess it has a distinct similarity to bread and wine. I mean, bread is really just wheat. It's just a different form of wheat.
Correct.
Wine is just a different form of grape, but we have this whole different bracha on it.
Correct. Correct.
So there's deep similarity there.
That's a perfect analogy, because since conventionally we relate to bread as completely something other than just ground baked grain flour.
Right.
As a new psychologically, it's a new chefza. They were, because it's important to the human diet, they create a new bracha. Conversely, it's not just simply a grapes. It's a completely new phenomenon. Like, you know, eventually based upon human culture. So it got a new bracha. So therefore, the fruit is defined as what it is now, it's laid conventionally and societally. That's the fruit. Nothing to do with it. It's not limited by botanical identity. All right. Okay. Let's go on to another kind of luck of dollar. All right. So Dan, can you read?
Yeah.
What does chefza mean? Sorry to interrupt.
The object.
Chefza means the object. Okay.
The object or the entity.
Yerocha shadarkan the shalik shlakan v'varech al meishlak shalahen beri adama. The vegetables that their manner is to stew them, and you do that. You say on the water of the boiling, if you drink that, beri adama. The who shlakan lishtos. Mayhem. The Meme Shlakos Kishlakos. Income Shadarkam Mishtoson. But that is
that when you stew them, that you drink their juice, their water, their soup. Why Shememe Shlakos, that the water of stewed vegetables, or the soup of the stewed vegetables, is like the stewed vegetables themselves. In the place, again, we see convention, the makom, in the locale, in the society where they would drink that, versus just taking the boiled vegetables out and discard. For example, let's have a good, I'll throw an example. Artichokes. What do you make on artichoke water? You boil it in.
Nothing. You don't drink it.
Or you make a shakol, because
right.
We don't drink, that has not become. We don't have. There's no such thing. Or The minhag is not to have artichoke soup, right? Oh, but if you have vegetables, you know, your onions, your carrots, your garlics, and you cook them, and you know, that we call vegetable soup. And even though you're not actually eating the fibrous remains of the vegetable, you make a shot, a bit of bread out of that. It's an extension.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is the part that says
infused with the flavor of a vegetable?
The part where it says the who shakshwak on lishtos memehen. How do you translate that part?
Provided she shall lakan that as you stew them, lishtos them to drink their water, their soup.
What do you mean? Like you? It has to be right there and then?
No. That was your intent. Your intent was I'm going to put in the pot of water.
It has to be your intent.
Onions, garlics, and you want to enjoy not just the vegetables themselves, but the soup, the flavoring that they emit into the water, which we call soup.
Right. So it has to be intended to make the water into the object of eating.
Right, because you want to eat the totality. You want to have the cooked vegetable. You want to eat that carrot, but you also want to eat the soup that the carrot's in.
Right. So I wonder if this is let me ask you this question, a practical example of this, or maybe what may be a practical example. Often people cook water, burn water. Often people cook rice and lentils in water, right? So if you have lentils, you want to cook it up. Most of the time, these things should, quote unquote, absorb all the water that you put in there. Oftentimes, you may put a little bit extra to make sure that, you know, it cooks completely, but there might be a little bit of water left over. So, for example, with lentils, you might put some bay leaf in there. You might put some onion in there. You get some water in there. So you cook the lentils. It's fine. You strain it out. You strain it into, I don't know, a bowl, whatever it is. You realize, oh, wait, I could drink this. It's like kind of like lentil soup. At that point, I don't have to make a bracha, but if I did it beforehand with the intent of drinking it.
No, anytime you're having something which is an object of hana, an object of enjoyment, you make a bracha. The question there is, do I make a bracha, a shah, home kefir baro? Do people have lentil water, lentil soup? And the answer is they do have lentil soup. We have lentil soup.
Right. Right. Okay.
Lentils out, still, it would still be viewed as what? Shemay shlakos to shlakos, if the water is the vegetables, it's the vegetables.
So the question is, right, beforehand, when I start cooking the lentils, I have the intent of drinking the lentil water.
It doesn't go by your individual intent. The Ram has three words. Bimkom, shidarka, and lishtos. In the place, in the society, where it's normal to drink it that way. And we live in a society.
Oh, I see. Right. So everybody eats lentil soup. So just because you didn't think about eating lentil soup beforehand, you realize you have a bowl of lentil soup in front of you after you cook the lentils. You still have to make the same bracha.
Correct.
Okay.
Good. Go on,
Viter. Dvash tamarim. Honey of dates, I think, right?
Yeah.
Mavarchin alav tchila shakal. So you say a shakal on it. Aval tamarim she miyachan biado. I'm not sure what that word means, miyachan.
You crush them. You squeeze them.
Okay, so if you have crushed dates in your hand, the hotzi garinin shilahen, and
you take out their pits.
Oh, and you take out and the pits come out of it, I guess, when you crush them in your hand, va'asayan kamo isa, and it becomes like a doughy type of mixture. Mavarech alayhen batchila berei pri ha'etz. So you say a berei pri ha'etz on them. Ulevasof bracha achas main shalosh, and you say a bracha achrono afterwards.
All right, the bracha we call affectionately an olam mifia, or in this case an olam aleitz. So that's a little bit of paradox. So when you have dates and oozing out of the dates are what are that honey that you know that sap that honey mm-hmm. you can buy that it's actually delicious. The, I don't know if you've seen that. Silwan.
No, honey from. Are you talking about honey from dates, or specifically the substance that comes from a date that bees are have nothing to do with?
No, bees have nothing to do with it.
Okay.
The word honey is used equivocally.
Okay.
You guys ever had that before?
What?
No, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I actually have it in my house.
What? What are we talking about?
There's a company called Ceylon. A Ceylon date syrup. So looking at Wikipedia, of course, has an entry on that. Date honey. Date honey, date syrup, date molasses. Is a thick, dark, brown, very sweet fruit syrup extracted from dates. It's widely used in North African and Middle Eastern cooking. And it's under.
I don't know what they use it for.
Israel, they call it Ceylon, which is Judeo-Iraqi Arabic. It functions similar to like pancake syrup.
Really?
Yeah. It's quite good. It's quite good. Pick it up. So you make
this
a.
This is talk. This is talking about when you are, like that's already processed already though. I mean, this is talking about when you're smushing it in your hands and the pits are just like falling out, you know? Like the probably what the thing that you're describing would be Devash Tamarim.
No, this is Devash Tamarim.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the second one.
No, this is Devash Tamarim.
Yeah.
So the Devash Tamarim, or otherwise known as Ceylon, whatever, we call Ceylon whatever in Israel. So this stuff is a bishako. Now, why is that? But if I take the date, I scrunch it up, make it like a ball of date mass, and just take out the pits. Right? I make a berei pri ha'etz on that. Why is that? What's the difference?
So you would think that once you've processed it, it should be a shakol, and at the beginning it should be a ha'etz. Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm not saying anything. I'm asking why.
Okay.
I'm saying why is it a shakol?
You're asking. Why is it a shakol?
Why is it a berei pri ha'etz?
So at the beginning it should be a ha'etz, but instead it's saying it's shahako. I would think that the product made from it would be a shahako, not a ha'etz.
Now, this really goes back to the case we had in Halacha Beis. A sochei peres hotzi mein mashkim, you squeeze fruit and out comes the juice, you make a shahako. And where we are unfashioned except for grapes and olives. Because the grapes and olives have a special bracha. So Ceylon is no different. So date honey is a an extra, is a extract. But if I take the fruit itself and I just munch and I sort of crush it up in my hand, mm-hmm. I just have no pit. So it's basically it's the same fruit. It's just in a sprung. It's just in a chopped up steak.
All right. It's two different things.
Yeah, because there's no extract. It's not an extract of the fruit. It's the fruit itself, but in a different shape.
Yeah.
There's a Havamina there.
Yeah.
That I don't know what it is, but he wouldn't have used if it was simply
right.
You know. Right. So
Dan's on point. In other words, you're saying if this is really what no different than squeezing the fruit for his juice, then why this halacha should be Tavash tomorrow should be in halacha base.
But the fact right, that, but it's not.
Right, so
it's
that's
not because what you see with the date honey, that's something that's oozing out of the date as it is on the tree, and they go around maybe collecting it or something.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your third point.
I think that's what I was going to say. I think you were interrupting me at precisely the right point. My assumption is that they don't have to do anything to the date to actually extract the honey, or minimalistically they have to do something. They just kind of collect it somehow. That seems to be what is indicated by the first sentence. In the next case, it seems to be, okay, well, if you want to make a product out of the date, then you're going to, you know, do stuff to it. But the shahakal on the date honey, I'm not sure if there's anything actually, any processing that's actually going on. Or maybe I have that backwards. I'm not sure.
But yeah. I actually wasn't saying that this should be included in the juice halacha. I think they are different. I was saying that if this shmushing of the dates in your hand is just like eating a date, then that's an obvious thing, then he wouldn't even need to have said that. There's a havamina that shmushing the date in your hand would make it into a shakel. You know?
Right. Let me just find out.
Here it says.
I don't know if it's the only way. All right, we can continue. But it seems that what they would do is they cook them. Oh, that's why. It's an extension of the case of cooking.
Okay, so they are actually harvesting the date and then turning it into honey, That's why it's a shahakal.
Yeah, Place dates and water in a medium saucepan, bring to boil. Once boiling, reduce to low simmer. Cook for 2 hours until dates are very soft. So it's like that. So you really, it's a chiddush in, it should be like a date soup. You're really having date soup. So there should be a burnt dates. That's a chiddush. You got to know then if it looks dry, you add a little water. And then at the end of the cooking, the liquid is 2 hours, it's thick and brown. Then you let it cool to room temperature, pour the liquid through a strainer lined with cheesecloth into a large mixing bowl. Then add batches of small dates from the cheesecloth, which is that sort of porous, you know, sort of a filtery kind of thing. Give them a good squeeze. Try to get as much of the liquid as possible. Remove the pulp and continue to remaining dates. Clean out the saucepan, strain the back into it, and bring it up to a boil again. Simmer between, okay, so you have to, the consistency of thick maple syrup. It's really kind of a stewing. It's really the way you get date honey is a stewing process. So your havamina is no different than really what? Than a thing. But here, it's not factually. Why? What's the difference? Here, you want like your soup. When you have your vegetable soup, you want the water and the soup to be like one hefza, one object. Here, you're cooking down your stuff, and then you're like trying to filter out the fibrous parts of the date honey. The dates, and you squeeze it out to extract it. In other words, the cooking is not to make a date soup. It's really a way to allow the liberating, the unleashing of the honey from the dates.
Right, it's a new product.
It's a new product. the new products. Not now, but we still have to define. In other words, what we had before was the cooked vegetables are like the May shlakoth are like the shlakoth. The soup of the vegetables like the vegetables. So why is not the soup of the dates like the dates?
Because in the case of the vegetables, you haven't destroyed anything. You've created a new product. You still have the vegetable. It's boiled. You put it on a plate. You can eat it. You can also eat the soup fine. So you make a separate bracha on that. In the case of the dates, it seems like you're destroying the date to make the product, similar to wheat. When you're making bread.
You want it separate. So, you know, or you're really cooking it to be a separate product called the honey. And you know, and like the May shalakos here is really to be unrelated to the and you don't want fibrous date remains into that. You want to strain it out.
Yeah.
So that's a shakel. It's a difference. Not if you do a conscious cooking effort to make it separate. Therefore, it's a separate thing. All right. So let's. It has to be refined a little more. But so to continue. All right, guys. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, bye-bye.